Morning. Today's daf Megillah is daf Vav. We are on the very top of Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting this morning with the words Tashma. Tashma obviously is a continuation of a Gemara's discussion. The Gemara yesterday wanted to know the following: the rule of Rabbi Yoshua. If you go back to the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta gives us the rule of Rabbi Yoshua in terms of Me'ilah vis-a-vis a Karban. So again, just to preface a couple of words, the Isser of Me'ilah, the Din of Me'ilah, is that when you have a Karban, making personal usage out of the Karban is a violation of the Torah. You're violating the Din of Me'ilah. You're going to have to pay back restitution of that which you enjoyed. Plus, you're going to also have to add on a Chomesh. Plus, you have to also bring a Karban Hashem as well. When it comes to a Karban, which Karban is subject to Me'ilah? So we work with one operating principle, and that's Kachi Hashem. Anything that goes up onto the Mizbech is going to be subject to Me'ilah. Anything not going up onto the Mizbech is not going to be subject to Me'ilah. That's the rule. When it comes to an Ola from its designation is going to go up onto the top of the Mizbech. And so therefore, it's going to be subject to Me'ilah, and it will continue to be subject to Me'ilah even after you do the Avoda. When it comes to Chatzos and Asham, so from the time of designation, it's subject to Me'ilah, but then when you do the Zrikas Hadam, and now the meat becomes permissible to the Kohanim, so then the meat is going to lose its status of Me'ilah. So for Chatzos and Asham, so Zrikas Hadam removes the status of Me'ilah for the Basar, for the meat that's going to be consumed by the Kohanim. Masha'en came when it comes to Kashi Kalim, so when you're Maktish the animal is not subject to Me'ilah. It's a bit of an irony. I mean, I know I've highlighted this before. Just think about it for a moment. We're talking now about a carbon. It's a carbon for every, for all intents and purposes. But meanwhile, the din of Me'ilah does not apply to the carbon yet because it's not going to be put onto the Mizbech. There are parts of it that are going to go onto the Mizbech, but they're only going to go onto the Mizbech only after Zrikas Hadam. So it's, in fact, for Kashim Kalim, it's the exact opposite. When you sprinkle the blood, when you use Zrikas Hadam for the carbon, so then and only then is there going to be a din of Me'ilah and only on the Imurim. That is the basic outline of Me'ilah as we learned it vis-a-vis Karbanos. We're going to be discussing later in the Masechta Me'ilah as it relates to Kashya Bet HaKabayis. But right now, we're speaking specifically about Karbanos. In that vein, so we learned our Mishnah and the rule of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says that if you have any time that there's a Shas Heter LeKohanim, that's the words of Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah, if there's Shas Heter LeKohanim, so as a result of that, so once Me'ilah has been removed, Me'ilah remains off of the basar of the karban. And but if there was never shas hetel kohanim, if there was never a point of permissibility to the kohanim, so then the isra of Me'ilah has not been removed, and the isra of Me'ilah is going to remain on the animal.
Isn't that the definition when Me'ilah starts or ends?
Yeah, in other words, without the rule of Rabbi Yoshua, I could have constructed the following argument. I could have said that that if there was a heter, if there's a heter chilek to the Kohanim, so then Me'ilah is lifted off. But once there's any kind of disqualification, Me'ilah comes back on again. You could have made such an, you know, such an argument like that. What Rabbi Yeshua was teaching us is that once Me'ilah has been lifted, that's it. It remains lifted permanently, even if there's a subsequent psul that would prohibit the Kohanim from eating it. Still, the din of Me'ilah, the isra of Me'ilah, is going to be removed. That's the point of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yoshua gives examples of what it means Shas Hetel Kohanim. The Mishnah went through the examples. The point that we discussed yesterday, what exactly is the point of Shas Hetel Kohanim? We know that once the Kohanim have a Heter in the Karban, so then the Me'ilah is removed. Again, specifically about Chatzos and Asham. The Me'ilah is removed. What exactly is the point of Shas Hetel Kohanim? So there were three opinions in the Gemara yesterday. When we opened up yesterday's Daf, so we are introduced to three opinions within the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. Shita number one is Heter Shechita. Heter Shechita Shanina, which means that the moment that it shechted, and now we're up to the step of Kabbalah Saddam. So that's Shas Heter LeKohanim. You think about it, how could that possibly be called Shas Heter LeKohanim? So as we explained yesterday, Shas Heter LeKohanim, because now it's in the domain of the Kohanim. From this point going forward, only Kohen can do the Avoda. Shechita can be done by anybody. Kabbalah Saddam can only be done by Kohanim. So once the Shechita is done, that's considered Shas Heter LeKohanim. That's one opinion. A second opinion, Heter Zrika. Heter Zrika means like this: we did the Kabbalah, we're ready for Zrika. Right? And the language are not exactly parallel one with another, as we pointed out already yesterday, but Heter Zrika means that we're ready for Zrika Saddam. We are prepared for Zrika Saddam. That's Shas Heter LeKohanim. How could that possibly be described as, excuse me, let me just pass the tissue. How could that possibly be described? Thank you. Be described as a time where it's permissible for the Kohanim. Where are we? We're nowhere. We're not at the point of Shechita. We're not at the point of Zrika. We are ready to do Zrika. How could that be called Shas Hetel Kohanim? So Rashi yesterday said that because since we're ready to sprinkle, it kol ha'omei lizrok kizarek dami. So once it's in a position where there's only one step removed from the Kohanim being able to eat it, the Zrika Sadam is the only thing, the only impediment that's left. So therefore, it's as long as we're at this point, kol ha'omei lizrok kizarek dami. That's the second opinion. And of course, the third opinion, which, as I mentioned yesterday, it's the easiest one for at least me to understand, and that is heter achila. Heter achila is the idea that once the Kohanim are able to eat it, that's the shas heter lekohanim, and it's at that point in time that the din me'ila is removed. So those are the three opinions that we saw yesterday in terms of what exactly is the shas heter lekohanim. It's either heter shechita, heter zrika, or heter achila. What we did yesterday, and we're going to continue doing for half of today, is we're going to see which of these positions are the most defensible, considering that we have a litany of Mishnayos and Braisas to work with. So we're going to read the Mishnah, we're going to read the Braisa better, we're going to even understand them, and we're going to see which of these positions fit in better. So that's what we did yesterday's daf, and today we're going to do that as well, at least in the first amud of today's daf. So we start today on the top of Vavam and Aleph, Tashma. Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Yesh Noser, Shemo'alimbo, Yesh Noser, She'in Mo'alimbo. You know, sometimes Noser is subject to Me'ila, and sometimes Noser is not subject to Me'ila, and Ketzad. And the Braisa is ready to give an example. So when we're talking here about Nosar, so the what exactly are we referring to? So again, I mentioned this yesterday, but I'll mention this quickly again. Things that are left over of a carbon. So classically, that which is left over of a carbon is the basar, the meat of the carbon. Carbon chatzos and asham, you're given one day and the following night to eat the meat of a carbon. After that point in time, it becomes Nosar. Tomorrow morning, the meat of a chatzos and asham become nosar. By shlamim, you have 2 days with the night in between. But we're talking right now about chatzos and asham. So that's one possibility of what nosar means. Another possibility of what nosar means is the blood. The blood of a carbon, after you shech the carbon, so you collect the blood in a bowl, that's kabbalah sadam, and now you zrika. Zrika has to be done during the day, the same day that the animal was shechted. If, let's say, we're able to keep the blood in a liquid form overnight, so then the blood is now going to be disqualified. Really, the carbon is going to be disqualified because that's the psul of lina, that the blood was left over. So over here, when we're talking about noser, and we're going to use the word lina in just a moment, so are we talking about the meat or are we talking about the blood? So it's not totally clear. I will work with Rashi's pshat. Rashi over here on the top of the Amud, you can see the Rashi on the very top, hadam. We're talking here about the blood. We're talking about an example where you accept, where you shechted, you collected the blood during the day, v'lo nizrek ad lamachar. And you didn't do the Zrika Sadam until the next day. Next day, by the way, just simply means after sunset. Im achal habasal lifnei Zrika mo'alim bo. Achal acher Zrika. I'm reading the Rashi. Im achal habasal lifnei Zrika mo'alim bo. So if I eat the meat of the carbon before Zrika Sadam, so it's subject to Me'ila. Achal la'acher Zrika ein mo'alim bo. But if I eat it after the Zrika, so then it's not subject to Me'ila. Disrile the Rabbi Shimon Zrika Zlan motziya midei Me'ila ki Zrika's kasher. Now, consider over here, because it is a bit of an oddity. So what we're saying in the Braisa, the way Rashi's presenting it, is that, look, the blood was left over. So the blood for sure is disqualified. The blood is disqualified, meaning, and the sprinkling of the blood shouldn't be able, not only shouldn't, doesn't make the carbon permissible. Okay? However, what we're learning in this Braisa, it's a sophisticated Braisa, is that despite the fact that the blood has undergone the psul of lina, if I sprinkled the blood, so that's enough to remove Me'ila. That's enough to remove Me'ila. As opposed to if I didn't sprinkle the blood, so then it's not enough to remove Me'ila. That's what the Braisa is teaching us. Obviously, it's a tremendous Kiddush. I would have thought otherwise. If the blood becomes disqualified, so then its sprinkling doesn't accomplish anything. That's what the Braisa is teaching us. And it's not a question of perception. You'll see. Rabbi Shimon Amar Yeshnoser Shemalamba Yeshnoser Shemalamba. So now I'm going back to the Gemara reading the Braisa inside. So Ketzad. So let's give an example. Lan Lifnei Zrika Moalin. So if the blood underwent Lina, like we just described, the blood was not sprinkled before the sun, before the setting of the sun. Now, if it's Lifnei Zrika Moalamba, so if anyone were to eat from the meat of the carbon, so they are now subject to Me'ila. However, La'achar Zrika, but if I sprinkle the blood, even though the blood has undergone the psul of Lina, Ein Mo'alin, there is no din of Me'ila. Okay, that is the point the Braisa is making. And now the Gemara is going to bounce off of this point. Ketani Mi'am Mo'alin Bo. So the one is going to be subject to Me'ilah. Lav de Have Shaus Le Mizderke Di Bai Zarik Ushmamina Heter Chila Shaninu. Now the Gemara says, now at this point in time, where are we? So presumably where we are is that there was more time to sprinkle the blood during the day, meaning again, the Bryce is talking about a case where you didn't. But presumably we're talking about a case where you did, and the Ibai Zarik, where you could have sprinkled it, Ushmamina Heter Chila Shaninu. And so what is the underlying assumption of the Bryce? The underlying assumption of the Brisa is that we need Zrika. We need Zrika in order for the din of Me'ila to be lifted. And the Brisa wants to give us, on that platform that it's assuming, the Brisa now wants to give us a Chiddush that even though the blood underwent the Psul of Lina, still the Zrika is going to work. That presumably is the point of the Brisa. But the underlying assumption of the Brisa is that what creates Heter, that what creates Heter is Zrika, meaning Heter Achila. That seems to be the underlying premise of the Brisa. And the Gemara says, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. In other words, maybe the point of the Brisa is that when the blood was received, it was right before sunset. Yes, it's a little bit strange that a carbon is going to be offered so late in the day. Generally speaking, we have our bookend carbonus every day. The Tamash al Shachar and Tamash al Bein Arabayim. Nothing is to be done after the Tamash al Bein Arabayim. So yes, it's a little bit strange that a carbon is being offered that late in the day. But the Gemara is presenting that this could possibly be shot in the Braisa. Carbon was offered so late in the day. Literally, there was no time left before Shkia Sechama. Avahai Yashos Mai. So the Gemara says, and now what are you telling me? That if there had been more time before Shkia Sechama, then we wouldn't need to do the actual Zrika. The potential for doing Zrika would be enough, otherwise known as Heter Zrika. That's the second point. So Hachinami Dein Mo'alimbo. So Dein Mo'alin. So you want to tell me that the Isser Me'ilah is removed? Meaning, is that really the Pshat in the Braisa that we're talking about, where the only reason, the only impediment to Zrika is that it's right before sunset? But if it were a little bit earlier, so then all I would need is the potential of Zrika. I don't need actual Zrika. You want to tell me that's Pshat in the Braisa? So my irya didn't need lifnei Zrika, lifnei konum shkia la'achar shkia. So then what's the critical point of the Braisa? Critical point is not whether it's before Zrika or after Zrika. The critical point is are we before sunset? Are we after sunset? Meaning, if what's creating the heter is not the actual Zrika, but the potential Zrika, and as long as there's time enough in the day that creates potential Zrika, so then that's what the Brisa should be writing. So Hachinami Kitani, so the Gemara says, okay, that's how you read the Brisa. That's how we are going to read the Brisa. Kodim Shiyire Lizrika, Ula'acher Shiyire Lizrika. That's what the Brisa meant. The Brisa just simply meant that as long as there's potential to sprinkle, meaning i.e. there's more time in the day, so then that's considered heter lekohanim, ashas heter lekohanim, at which point in time the din of me'ilah has been removed. Tashma, the Gemara is going to do this now a second time for this morning with another brisa, and it's awfully similar. This brisa over here is basically going to be almost the same point, the identical point that we made earlier this morning. The only difference is instead of talking about the psul of Nosa, we're going to be talking about the psul of Pigel. But it's going to come out to basically the same point and the same back and forth. Rabbi Shimon Amar Yesh Pigol Shema'olimbo V'Yesh Pigol She'ema'olimbo. You know, sometimes a disqualified pigol is subject to Me'ilah and sometimes it's not. What is it going to be dependent on? Keitza lifnei Zrika Mo'alin lachar Zrika Mo'alin. If it's pigol but before Zrika, so then the animal is still going to be holding by Me'ilah. However, again, remember, we're talking about a chatzis, we're talking about an asham, we're talking about the din of Me'ilah already was in force. And it's now just a question of lifting the Isser of Me'ilah. So if it was disqualified through Pigol, and it's before Zrika Sadam, subject to Me'ilah. However, Lacha Zrika, but if after the blood is sprinkled, Ein Mo'atlin. There's no longer going to be a din of Me'ilah. Now, this Gemara that we're learning right now should be a little bit troubling based on what we've learned earlier in the Masechta on Gimel Med Beis. We learned the rule of Rav Gidol Merav. Rav Gidol Merav taught us that If the carbon was disqualified through pigol, and I did the zrika is a meaningless act. Since the psul of pigol is such a disqualification, what it does is it renders the zrika obsolete. That's what we learned back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Over here, our Gemara is not saying that. Our Gemara is saying is that the zrika of a carbon that underwent the psul of pigol is in fact a good zrika. So our Gemara over here is not consistent with the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis. Already, they're sure to make that observation. Anyway, what comes out over here, Katanimiya, what it's stated in the Brisa, Lifnei Zrika Mo'alimbo, Lav Da'avishals Lemizrike, Di Bai Zarik, Vekatani Mo'alimbo. And again, what seems to be the key factor in terms of the Shas Heter LeKohanim? The actual zrika. Actual zrika is the key factor in removing the din of me'ila. Ushmamina heter achila shaninu. And so therefore what we see over here is heter achila. Granted, by the way, it's a little bit strange, and I know this is the complicated part of learning this Gemara in this particular Braisa. There is no heter achila, meaning it's been disqualified through pigle. But the point is that we're looking for the critical moment in which there theoretically, potentially could be a heter achila, and that's, of course, actual zrika. That's what the Braisa is supposing, is assuming. And therefore, we are left now, again, with the same conclusion that what actually creates the heter shasetel kohanim? Actual zrika. And again, the Gemara deflects, and it's the same deflection that we saw just moments earlier. Lo de lo havishaus le mizruke. So there was no time left to sprinkle, i.e. you shechted it, you shechted it right before sunset. Avahavashaus le mizruke, but if there was time to sprinkle, my hachinami denafik mide me'ila. So you want to tell me that as long as there's time to sprinkle, so that's enough to remove me'ila. The Gemara says, my irya didni lachar zrika liftei kodem shkias ula achar shkias achama. Same point that we made earlier. If the critical moment is, as long as there's time to sprinkle, so then what the Braisa should be dividing is whether there is kodem shkias achama or la'achar shkias achama. That should be the dividing point of the Braisa. Hachinami kamar, and again, the Gemara's response is the same response. That's exactly what the Braisa meant. We just have to understand it correctly. Kodem shiyira lizrika, la'achar shiyira lizrika. That's exactly what the Braisa meant. And we're going to do this two more times. Tashma. The Gemara comes up with another Braisa that is once again going to pose difficult. Ha-pigel b'katche kadashim mo'alem. So, pigel by katche kadashim is going to be subject to me'ila. Now, pigel by katche kadashim is going to be subject to me'ila. What exactly is the Braisa teaching us? So this is consistent with what we learned with Rav Gidol Merav, meaning that because it's pigel and because it's disqualified through the disqualification of pigel, so therefore by katche kadashim it's going to be subject to me'ila. So my lav de zarak. And now, presumably, what does that mean? It means I went through all the avodas. I did shechita, kabbal sadam, holacha, and zrika. Ushmamina, heter achila shaninu. And that means to say that what we need in order to create a heter, a shas heter l'kohanim, is the actual zrika. Now, here it doesn't help, but no, that's only because of the disqualification of pigel. But under normal circumstances, what I need is actual zrika. Lo, the lo zarak. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. It could be talking about a case where you did not do zrika. Aval zarak may hachanami deimo alambo. So the Gemara says, now you mean to tell me that if I did zrika, so there's no longer going to be a din me'ila? So my irya didni b'kashim kalam ein mo'alambo. Okay, so then there's another part of the Braisa that by kashim kalam ein mo'alambo. Now the Braisa teaches us that when it comes to kashim kalam, shlamim, so if the psul is a psul of pigol, and we sprinkled with that psul of pigol, there's not going to be a din of me'ila. Now, why not? And the answer is very simple. Since the carbon's disqualified, and since I won't be able to put the imurim on the mizbeach because it's a disqualified carbon, so then, even if I went through the shechita, kabbalas adam, and zrika, but because it was all done with the pigol disqualification, so therefore there is no, it's not kachay Hashem. It's not to be put up onto the mizbeach. So, listening kan lifnei zrika kan lachar zrika. Gemara's question goes like this: in this brisa, we're making the following two points. What is the effect of a pigel disqualification by kachik kachim as it relates to me'ila? What is the effect of the pigel disqualification by kachim kalim as it relates to me'ila? And the point the brisa is making, the simplest way to read the brisa is that by kachik kachim, because of pigel, so me'ila is not introduced. By kachim, me'ila is not removed. By kachim kalim, the point of the brisa is that me'ila is not introduced. Fine. That's the simplest way to read the brisa. The Gemara now is going through a much more complicated format of the brisa. The Gemara now is saying that, you know what the brisa is coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that when it comes to kachay kadashim, well, it's not totally true. Meaning, if it's pigel, but we did zrika, so that is considered shas heter l'kohanim. So really now, if that's right, so then the Braisa, if the Braisa just wanted to make a simple contrast, what the Braisa could have done is, given me the case of Kachi Kadashim before Zrika, and give me the case of Kachi Kadashim after Zrika. That's what the Braisa could have done. The Braisa did not do that. So, ha asya lashminan kol la'asui le'demi'ila, Zrika kitikna, ma'isi le'demi'ila. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Braisa wanted to make the following point, and it's a really interesting point. That is, when it comes to kashim kalim, again, what does the proper zrika do? What a proper zrika does is that it introduces me'ila. meaning that prior to Zrika, there was no din of Me'ila. And what Zrika does is it brings about, it creates the status of Me'ila in the Imurim. Good. When we're talking about Kachi Kadashim, so what does the proper Zrika do? Just the opposite. Removes the Me'ila. What's easier, what's harder? So it's really interesting. The Gemara says that's exactly the point of the Braisa. What's more difficult, what's more challenging is introducing Me'ila. Right? In other words, if you think about it just from a simple standpoint of, is it easier to destroy or is it easier to create? It's always easier to destroy. It's always harder to create. So if we're talking about bringing Me'ila into the Imurim of Kachim Kalim, so what kind of Zrika do I need? What I need is a good kind. Meaning it has to be that there is no disqualification whatsoever. It is a perfectly kosher Zrika. That's exactly what the Gemara says. So kola asuya lide Me'ila Zrika kitikna maisi lide Me'ila. However, kola afuke mide Me'ila. But if we're talking about the removal of Me'ila, that's easy. Removing Me'ila, meaning kol shalok afilu shalok kitikna nami mafki mide Me'ila. Even if it's shalok kitikna, that's going to remove Me'ila by kachik kadashim. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end of the sugya, and what does that leave us off with? It really leaves us off with a machlokas on the issue of what is considered shas hetel kohanim. Rabbi Yeshua's rule that as long as there is a shas hetel kohanim, so that means to say now that the kohanim are able to eat the meat, as long as there was a point where they were able to eat the meat, so the iser of me'ila has now been removed, it's been lifted. What exactly is a shas hetel kohanim? So like we said yesterday, and really we haven't moved from the number of possibilities. It's either heter shkita, once the shkita is done to the chatos or the asham, that's considered shas heter kohanim, or as long as it's heter zrika, which means that we're ready to do the zrika, we're in a position to do the zrika, predicated on the premise of kola ome lizaro kizarek dame, that is the second possibility, or the third possibility is heter achila. Once the Kohanim are able to eat the carbon, i.e. Zrika was done, then the Isser of Me'ila, the din of Me'ila, has been lifted from the carbon. Let's continue. We are on the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis, and now we are winding down to the end of the first parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow, where we finish the parak of Mirtz Hashem, and with one more Mishnah to go, Basa Kachi Kadashim, Shiyatza Lifnei Zrika's Damim. What if I have the meat of Kachi Kadashim that exited the Azara before the Zrika Sadam? Okay, so the simplest way to read the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah is we shechted the carbon already. Now, it's a little bit challenging because we just got done entertaining that there are three possible points of heter, of shas heter lekohanim, and one of those points is the actual shechita itself. Okay, and you can see the top tosos over here where he addresses it, but let me just illustrate what the Mishnah is describing. Chatzos Hashem was born to the Azara. Kohen shechted the chatos of the Hashem. You don't need a Kohen, you can have somebody else doing it, but either way. And now, the blood is collected into a bowl, and we're ready to do Zrikas Adam. Now, this is a chatos of Hashem, which means that the meat of the chatos of Hashem is not to leave the walls of the Azara. Not now, and not even after Zrikas Adam. Remember, by Kachi Kadashim, chatos of Hashem are eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, the male Kohanim, in the Azara. Fine. So it's not to leave the Azara. What if the meat leaves the Azara? Disqualification. That's a psul. That psul is called Yotze. So what we are now describing is the following. We're talking about the meat of Kashi Kadashim that was taken out, doesn't matter, by accident, on purpose, intention over here, doesn't seem to play a role. It was taken out before Zrika Sadam. Okay, so now it's disqualified. Fine. What's the only issue left to discuss? You can't eat it. In other words, it's psul. Psul of Yotze. The only thing left to discuss is the following. Let's say Zrika was done anyway, right? And as we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf, let's say some other meat of this carbon is already in the Azara. All right, so in other words, it's going to be an effective Zrika, at least for some of the meat. Tomorrow we're going to discuss that in more detail. So now, is the Zrika at least going to be able to remove the din of Me'ila of the disqualified meat? That's the question. It's really simple. It's very straightforward. And that's the question. Can Zrika Sadam be at least enough of a matir to remove the din of Me'ila from it? Now, mind you, by the way, the din of Me'ila has been removed. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat it. It's disqualified the psul of Yotze. But at least the Zrika was done, and it can be viewed as a shas heter lekohanim. That's the question on the table. Machlokes atanayim. As we'll see right now. So basa kachi kadoshim shiyasul fnei zrikas damim. So I have the meat of kachi kadoshim, and now, despite the fact that it was taken out of the azar and it disqualified, we sprinkle the blood. Rebbe Lazar amar malimbo. Rebbe Lazar says that there's still going to be a din of me'ila. And there's still going to be a din of me'ila because it was disqualified. Let me say that clearly. Because it was disqualified, so therefore the zrika does not affect it whatsoever. And so therefore it had the status of me'ila, will continue to have the status of me'ila. And ein chayev in lav mishum pikel nos v'tame. On top of that, because it's so disqualified, it is not eligible for any other disqualification. Let's say the carbon was shechted with the machshav of pigel. Or let's say the other meat of the carbon was left over. Or let's say the meat becomes tamei. And when I say the meat, I mean even this meat becomes tamei. Once it becomes disqualified, the psul of yotzei, and it was taken out before the zrika. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is now going to be totally excluded, removed from the status of carbon in any other respect. Meaning that the zrika won't affect it. Tumah won't affect it. Pigel won't affect it. In other words, the psul of yotzei is the only psul that it will have. All this is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer ein mo'alim bo. Rabbi Kiva says that there is not going to be a status of meila v'chayav v'lam mishum pigel noser v'tamei, and it's also eligible for pigel noser and tamei. The opinion of Rabbi Kiva is difficult to understand. Meaning, if I had to try to explain either the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer or that of Rabbi Kiva, it'd be easier for me to explain Rabbi Eliezer. Consider, once the meat is taken out before Zrikas Adam, so now that meat becomes disqualified. Now what? Now it's locked in that disqualification, and so therefore I sprinkle the blood of the carbon. Okay, so for the Zrika itself, that was a good Zrika. But it doesn't permit, it doesn't allow this piece of meat to be consumed. This piece of meat already was disqualified through the psul of Yotzei. So basically, I would have said, like Rabbi Eliezer, I'm just trying to give svar over here. Like Rabbi Eliezer, the Zrika literally accomplished nothing vis-a-vis the meat that was taken out prior to the Zrika. Rabbi Kiva's position obviously is a more sophisticated position. It takes a little more to understand that position. Meaning Rabbi Kiva is certainly not saying that the Zrika now is going to allow the permissibility of that meat that was taken out. That meat that was taken out is mamish psul. It's disqualified. It just means that according to Rabbi Kiva, though, because we still are able to accomplish the mitzvah of Zrikas Adam, and so the meat is still in existence, albeit in a disqualified state, Rabbi Kiva says that the din of Mi'ila is going to be lifted, it's going to be removed. So I'm admitting that it's harder to understand Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint, but obviously it needs better understanding. Just, you know, I'm deficient in that. I'm Rabbi Kiva Vare. Now Rabbi Kiva himself is going to be providing an argument in terms of how he knows that Zrika can be effective even for parts of the carbon that are disqualified. Consider the following, says Rabbi Akiva. I'm a Rabbi Akiva. Hare amafish chatas of avda. Let's say you set aside a carbon chatas. You lost it. V'hifrish acheres tachteha. You replace it. V'achakach nimtzes harishona. You found the original one. So now you have both carbon chatos. Now, I know this is a little bit confusing because generally we talk about chatas, all right, chatas nizkaper ba'acher, where I have a chatas where I received the kapara through another animal because I lost my original one. And that's one of the five chatos amesos. Over here, however, I discovered the lost one before I offered the replacement. So basically, I have both right here. Vareshtem omdos are both right here. Lo kishem shadama poter. Lo kishem shadama poter besara kachu poter es basar chaverta. In poter dama es besar chaverta min ami'ila. Dinushi poter es besar atzma. So consider now, we sprinkle the blood of one of the carbonas, meaning we use one of them. Let's say we use the replacement. Okay, so I use the replacement. Now, vis-a-vis the second carbon, is that second carbon, can that be used as a carbon chatas? The answer, of course, is no. It can't be used as a second chatas. You only need one carbon chatas, you don't need a second carbon chatas. Has the din of me'ila been removed from the second carbon? So Rabbi Kiva's argument is, yes, it has been removed. Ah, so what do you see? So you see that despite the fact that the carbon itself cannot be used as a carbon, but as long as the blood is sprinkled on its behalf, so that at least will remove me'ila. So Rabbi Kiva says, okay, so I think I'm good now. I think we're good. The whole point over here is that even though the sprinkling of the blood does not immediately allow for the consumption of the meat, but as long as the meat is in existence, so then the din of me'ila is removed. And let me just accentuate the point of Rabbi Kiva even stronger. Meaning, if the in the case of the in the two chatas scenario where the sprinkling of one is going to remove me'ila off the other animal, the quote-unquote foreign animal, so then for sure, think of the kavachomer, for sure the sprinkling of the blood of this animal will remove the din of me'ila of all of its meat, even the meat that becomes disqualified through yotze. Okay. Imurim kash. Now there's no back and forth, by the way, in the Mishnah. There's no give and take. There's no response by the Chachamim to Rabbi Akiva. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Akiva nor to his argument, but the Gemara, at least at this point in time, doesn't highlight how this argument can be countered. Imurim kashim kalim shiyasul lefnei zrika. Now, we're going to do the same thing again, meaning we're in the same Mishnah, and we're going to be basically making the same point, but the inverted point, which means that now we're going to be talking about kashim kalim, and now we're going to be talking about where the imur were removed from the azara prior to the sprinkling. And it's going to be the same question. Because remember now, for kashim kalim, what does the proper zrika do? It introduces me'ila into the imurim. But right now, where are the imurim? Outside of the azara, having been disqualified with the psul of yotzei. And so now it's going to be the same question and the same answers also. So imur kashim kalim shiyatzul lefnei zrika zamin rebbe lazar me'e imo alam bo. Ve'ein chayav v'nalem mishum pikol nos v'tamei. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, so there's not going to be a din of me'ila, meaning Rabbi Eliezer's position, which is very, again, it's easy for me to understand and explain, is that since the Imurim were taken out of the Azara, so now they're DQ'd. Now that they're DQ'd, so whatever Zrika you do in the Azara is going to totally not affect anything that's outside the Azara. You can't put it onto the Mizbeach, so therefore the Zrika is not going to affect it. And by the Imurim of Shlamim, what does that mean? You just have to, now that we're talking about Shlamim, you have to flip the switch. What that means is that Me'ila will not be introduced into the Imurim. But it's the same point. In other words, because it's disqualified, so its status won't change. So and also, it's not going to be subject to the disqualifications of Pigel, Noser, and Tameh. Rabbi Kiva Omer Ma'alim Ba'em V'chaim Alam Mishum Pigel Noser V'Tameh. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that it is subject to Me'ila. And in other words, that even though the Zrika is not going to change its status, and it's not going to permit it to be brought onto the Mizbech, nevertheless, Me'ila, it's going to have the status of Me'ila, according to Rabbi Kiva, and Chayav Lam Mishum Pigel Noser V'Tameh, it will also become eligible for all these disqualifications of Pigel, Noser, and Tameh. So what we saw in our Mishnah basically is the point of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, the debate between the two of them, which is exposited in two scenarios. One scenario of Kachay Kachim, and the second scenario of Kachim Kalim. But it effectively is the same point. When you think about it, it's exactly the same point. Let's just illustrate one more time before we start with the Gemara, because the Gemara basically is just going to go over why the redundancy of the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, even though the meat of Kachim has been removed from the Azara prior to Zrika, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when I do the Zrika, is that going to affect that meat whatsoever? The answer for Rabbi Eliezer is no. Since it's disqualified, Zrika is not going to affect it at all. Kohanim are not be able to eat it, and so therefore its status does not change. What does unchanged status mean by Kachay Kadashim? It had the din of Me'ila, it will continue to have the din of Me'ila. And also, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not going to be subject to Pikel Noser V'Tameh. Because again, it's been removed, it has the psul of Yotzei. Rabbi Akiva takes the opposite position. Rabbi Akiva says that no, that even though it's been removed, nevertheless the Zrika is going to remove the Me'ila status. Okay, again, difficult position to understand, but that's Shita's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva uses the double chatas, the two chatas scenario as proof that his position is a tenable position. We're gonna and then the Mishnah did the same thing by Kachim Kalim, where the Imurim were taken out, because remember, by Kachim Kalim, what is the only thing eligible for Me'ila? Only the Imurim, because that's what's gonna go onto the Mizbech, and that's Kachay Hashem. So the Imurim were taken out before Zrikas Adam, and now you did the Zrikas Adam. Is the Zrikas Adam going to affect the Imurim that underwent the Psul of Yotzei? So here, once again, it's the same machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says that there will not be a din of Me'ila by the Imurim. You did Zrikas Adam. That's wonderful. You did Zrikas Adam. But the Imurim were already been disqualified through Yotzei. So there will not be an introduction of Me'ila onto the Imurim. Masha'enkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, there will be a din of Me'ila on the Imurim, despite the fact that it underwent the Psul of Yotzei. The Gemara's discussion over here is very short, and it's basically going to revolve around the following. Why the need for repetition in our Mishnah? Right? This is the first case of the Mishnah of Kachay Kachim, and the second case of the Mishnah of Kachim Kalim are really the same point. It's just, again, because of the nature of Me'ila, it's an inverted point, but it's the same point. So the Hani Tartalamali, why do we need both? Tricha, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why they're necessary. Di'in Rabbi Kachi Kadashim, if I only had the debate of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, only in the first case of the Mishnah of Kachi Kadashim, Hava, I mean, I would have thought, but Hakama Rabbi Elazar, Ma'al and Bo. I would have thought that Rabbi Elazar over there says that it is subject to Me'ila, Mishim Dizrika Kitikna, Mafkimi De Me'ila, Shalok Kitikna, Lo Mafkimi De Me'ila. Because I would have argued that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Zrika, when done only correctly and properly, only that is going to remove Me'ila. Improper Zrika, because the meat was taken out and it underwent the pistil of Yotzei, so it's called an improper Zrika. It's lo mafka mide Me'ila, it's not going to remove it from the status of Me'ila. Avala Yisrila de Me'ila. But over here by Shlamim, what are we looking to do with Zrika? We're looking to introduce Me'ila. Second time today we're having this kind of discussion. Of what's harder, what's easier, to remove the Me'ila of Kashi Kedashim or to introduce Me'ila by Imur Meshlamim. So over here, as it relates to Shlamim, where we're introducing Me'ila, so Aval Isu Li De Me'ila Modil Rabbi Kiva. He would agree to Rabbi Kiva that Filo Shlo Kitikna Maisi Li De Me'ila, that even if it's done improperly, the Me'ila status will be introduced into it. Now, it's really interesting because, if you remember the first half of today's daf, you don't have to go back that far. So, at the end of the previous Amud, we were arguing the merits of, or the ease of, the removal of Me'ila as opposed to the introduction of the Me'ila, right? The way I described it earlier this morning, it's easier to destroy than to create. Over here, the Gemara is advocating just the opposite argument. That it's easier to introduce Me'ila onto the Imurei Shlamim rather than to remove it from Kachikalam. But at the very same time, however, I understand the Gemara's point over here. It's basically like the principle of inertia. Meaning, once something has a status, to change the status, right, it's just more difficult. Okay, anyway. V'i itmar gabi kashim kalam hava amina. Now, again, we're going to do the same thing, just in the other direction. Let's say our Mishnah only gave us the machlokas of kachim kalam. Have amina gabi kachim kalam. Huda amar Rabbi Kiva malam behem dafil zrika shloki tikna ma'isili de me'ila. Look, I know it was a zrika shloki tikna. There, me'ila will be introduced. Avakachi kadoshim delafukehu shloki tikna lo mafki mide me'ila. But if we're talking about removing the status of me'ila by kachi kadoshim, so unless it's a proper zrika, it's not going to be removed. So we're just simply highlighting that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer are true to their position, whether we're talking about Kache Kachem and the removal of Me'ila, or Kache Kalim and the introduction of Me'ila onto the Imurim. That's the whole point of the repetition of the Mishnah, Kamash Malan. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll pick it up at the bottom of the Amud with the words Itmar. Quick recap. Today, what we covered is the conclusion of the Gemara's discussion regarding what exactly is Shas Heta LeKohanim, which at this point in time now, the Me'ila, the Din of Me'ila is going to be removed from the Karban. So there are three possibilities. It's Heter Shechita, Heter Zrika, and Heter Achila. And of those three positions, the Gemara did not side conclusively with any of those positions. The Mishnah today started introduced us to a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. What happens if the meat of Kachi Kedushin was removed before Zrika, and that we went through with the Zrika? Is that going to remove the Din Me'ila of the Kachim of the Basar that underwent the Psul of Yotzei? That's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. And the same machlokas exists between the two of them regarding the introduction of Me'ila onto the Imurim of Shlamim that was removed prior to Zrika. It will be the same machlokas, and the Gemara explains the necessity of that machlokas.